listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. As many of you know, my husband Bob died this past January. He made the decision to leave this earth, so actually I'm grateful on his behalf. Personally, I've long been interested in matters of spirit, but not so curious as I've been since Bob died. I had a dream about him not long after he died. He was standing in the bathroom in his underwear talking to someone, but it wasn't me. It was more like he was talking with someone else. And I kept asking someone in my dream, is it really Bob? Is he here or not? I think he was in another dimension, talking with somebody there. But of course, I have no proof. Well, today's guest experienced what we call near death three different times. And Tony Green is here to talk with us about those experiences, about death and about spirituality. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. And we do welcome your questions and comments. You can put them on our chat on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living, or the radio show page of emotionalpro.com. And you can also call in directly toll-free. Do that now so that you get a place, 888-498-0570, and you can talk with Toni Green directly. Well, who is Toni Green? She is an internationally renowned psychic, medium, channel, and healer, and she's helped many people from around the world with her international radio show, Messages from Above with Toni G, and with her readings, programs, and events. She became a certified hypnotist in 2009 and quickly began channeling hypnosis sessions and programs for her clients a lot in the area of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but by now she's spread far beyond that. So today, Toni continues to create and teach guided healing and hypnosis programs, and she offers those at her events and retreats. You can find her on the web at tonig.info, that's T-O-N-I-G, .info. Toni's author of four new books, including the one we're featuring today, which is a 30-day meditation book called The Ever-Evolving Journey for the Soul. So, Toni Green, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's such an honor to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you start out by telling us what, and we're going to focus on near-death experiences and what you may have gotten from those today. So let's start with, what is a near-death experience?
Okay, so thank you for the question. People may have different ideas of what a near-death is, and I'm going to kind of channel my answer for you, because that's what I do, I channel. And the information that came through me as the definition of a near-death experience from the other side is when the spirit soul leaves the body, and then that starts the near-death experience. And then when it starts to go home with the intention of either, they're using the word revamping, or staying. And that is a near-death experience. Now, some souls remember everything. They go back home, the whole journey. Some just come back and they don't recall anything, but they know something in their life is different. And then others will remember a little bit. They may not even be aware that they have had a near-death experience. So
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went online to the website of the International Association of Near-Death Experiences, and I discovered that they report studies in Germany, Australia, and the U.S. that indicate somewhere between 4 and 15% of the population of those countries has had a near-death experience. And they also listed 15 characteristic features of near-death experiences, interestingly, none of which happens all the time, because near-death experiences are different for everybody, as you say. So I found that kind of interesting. Now you're saying that some people don't really remember, they just experience change. So I'm assuming that could be a lot more than 4 to 15% in that case.
Absolutely. My first near-death, I don't personally recall this near-death experience. I know it happened. It was when I was a toddler, and the part of it that my subconscious mind brings up as recall is the part where I'm floating above the room looking at the circumstances. Now, that's something where people could say, well, how do you know that that's just not an inaccurate memory? You have a knowing inside of you of what's true and what's not, and that's how I know. My second near death, I don't recall going home. I don't recall anything. I just went dark. Everything went black, and this was in my early 20s. Everything just went dark. I woke up on the floor, and I heard the statement, get out now, I'm not going to go verbatim with that. But it was a warning to get out of that situation immediately. And after that, everything in my life started kind of changing in alignment to get me out of that situation. And I was very open to hearing those messages too. So those two near-death situations, a lot of people wouldn't think or account them as near-deaths because the first one was as a toddler, and who can account for that? Who else can say that happened? The second one was, I don't recall what happened while I was in that near-death state. Does that make sense?
Yes, but you knew it was near-death because your spirit or soul left your body and mm-hmm. then returned. That was your primary way to know that that had occurred. Is that correct?
Right, and when during the first one, yes, and the second one, when I came out, the person that was there with me had checked, and I had no pulse while
I was
out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he actually said, and this is a little graphic, not too uncomfortable for your listeners. He actually said, oh, I thought I killed you this time. So, I mean, that was definitely one of those things where it's kind of hard to say it wasn't, but the fact that it was all dark and I didn't recall going home, I didn't recall talking with my guides and angels during that period, doesn't make a difference. The fact that when I came out, I had that very loud, just booming message in my head, and his statement helped me to understand that that was absolutely a near death. Now, I will say a lot of people who go into the hospital have near deaths either right during surgery or right after surgery or before surgery. If they, say, for cardiac or something like that, they will experience a near death and not realize it. They won't recall that part of it. And because hospitals use those big bright lights above them, up on operating tables, doctors will always say, no, the light you saw was the light from the operating table. Well, really, because your eyes are closed and you're not focused on that. You're not, that's a nice statement, but I find it to be inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. When I look at these 15 features with the two that you've been talking about, the second one is sometimes perceiving life from an outside position, and you talked about floating above. You also talked about experiencing a great light or darkness. In your case, you experienced a darkness. And you also had some being that was giving you a message. Mm-hmm. And so the being is one of the characteristics, and also getting messages regarding your life's purpose, or in this case, you better get out of here. So you did experience several of these things, even at your young age. that the association says are features of near death. So the question that I have is, what do you think the purpose of the, I mean, the second one you say, I got a message to get out of the situation I was in. Clearly, there's a purpose there of letting you know, stop here and reassess. But just with the first two, what do you think the purpose of the near-death experience might be on a physical and or a spiritual level?
That is an amazing question. And I can answer this, but my answer probably will not be it'll be an answer as far as I know, but there may be more aspects to this that I'm not touching on because there can be many reasons for a near-death experience. One of the reasons that people have a near-death experience is because they're not on track with their life purpose or where they're supposed to be going. Another reason is if somebody's reconsidering being here, if they're exhausted, they're not sure if they're saying, why am I here, what's going on, a near-death can occur to help them to want either, A, want to be here, B, understand why they are here, or C, to use one of their exit points to go home at that time because it's just too much for them. Another reason for a near-death would be that your soul just needs to kind of be re-energized or put on a new path. So there's the getting on your path, getting on a new path, getting re-energized or starting again, and then because you're considering whether you really want to be here or not, if it's gotten too heavy for you and too much, that can be another reason. Uh-huh.
That's really interesting. I've worked as a psychotherapist for 44 years, and many, many years ago, through working with a particular person, I developed this insight that while we all come to the earth, and to my mind, we come here in order to grow and learn, still, once we get here, we have to make a decision about whether we will actually stay. And what I observed is that people who haven't yet made that decision, to my observation, almost looked like they were walking on a layer of air, like they never really connected to the earth. And so what then happened is things didn't work out for them when they're here on the earth until they make the decision that they're going to stay here. And I made it a habit since then of asking people that I saw working this way whether they were ready to make a decision about staying. I wonder if you have a comment about that.
Oh, I so do, Eileen. You're probably 1,000,000% correct on that. During my third or my last near-death experience, I was on my way home. This is the one that I remember the best. Like, I have all the account of, if you will. And I was on my way home, and I was doing some people call it a review, but I saw my mom, I saw my sisters, I saw this, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, hey, like there was no pain, there was no nothing, absolutely nothing. I just, a feeling of pure contentment, love, and everything was A-okay, and nothing could ever be better. And then I saw my two dogs, Max and Bella, who are hairless Chinese Crested and a little bit fragile. And my family, they're not pet people. So as soon as I saw my dogs, and I had been in this state, I had been, let me back up for a second. I had been in this state for 3 hours, and then I finally, I was out of my body for approximately 3 hours, and then I just started to see the ascension point. And I know information was coming into me for that full 3 hours because I was in and out of, like, I'd hear the people arguing, and then I would hear nothing. And then I'd hear the people arguing, and then I'd hear nothing. And then I saw, I started to really start to go home, and Once I saw my dogs, I said, I can't go. No one will love them the way I will. Now, for 3 hours, I'd been lying on the ground, and I felt absolutely no pain. Nothing was going on except for every time I tried to focus, I would get this, everything was shaking because I wasn't in my body. As soon as I made that statement, I was back in my body. There was pain absolutely everywhere. Oh my gosh, the pain was overwhelming, and then everything from that point forward set me on the path that I am today. So I agree with you, based on my personal experience. I agree with you 1,000,000%. Once I made the decision, I'm here. I can't go. I need to stay. Everything changed, and everything slowly, very slowly, started to go in the path that I am on right now.
Yes, that's so interesting. The young woman who helped me learn this came from quite a privileged family and was an only child, was fairly young, and had only done the nicest things in her life. And I ran into her about 6 or 7 months after she made the decision to stay. She was carrying a razor blade around in her wallet to kill herself whenever things got too much. And I told her, you know, it's no point in coming to therapy if you've got that razor blade in your wallet, so make a decision. And she did, and then she came for 2 or 3 more sessions and left. But when I ran into her, I was really surprised, because she told me that she was working as a dishwasher in a nursing home, dating a fellow dishwasher, and taking a motorcycle maintenance course. And that was so profound, but as I looked at it, I thought, well, of course, she decided to be on the earth, and so now she literally wants to get her hands dirty.
Absolutely, and once we make that decision, we can make a number of different decisions. Once we make that decision, we can decide to be anything we want to be after that point, but it all comes down to being in service of. And a lot of people misunderstand that. A lot of people think, I don't want to just serve people. I need to survive here. Being in service of doesn't mean giving with nothing in return. Each and every soul's purpose is to be in service of all other souls that they come into contact with. And if they remember that, if they understand that correctly, then those souls they run into, their purpose is to also be in service of. So we're kind of being in service of each other at all times. And there's an energy exchange for everything. But her being in service of, and amazingly, you say she comes from a family of privilege. She had to experience the other side of privilege, too.
Mm-hmm.
So her other side might be, you know, taking that motorcycle maintenance and class, and it just might be the complete opposite of what she was brought up with in some ways. And it's yin and yang, learning her masculine side and being okay with her masculine side and just being in that place where now she can really live that other side of it too and embrace it and just love it. Just because you have a girl, it doesn't mean she's a girly girl all the time.
Well, that's a good point. Well, thank you for that. You know, this happened quite a number of years ago, and it was so profound what she did that it really drew my attention. It also seems to me that if you haven't been connected to the earth and then you make the decision, you might be a little dubious about whether the connection's really there, so you might be a little timid for a while. Maybe we can talk about that when we come back from our break. We're up to our first break. Toni Green is my guest today. She's an internationally renowned psychic, medium, channel, speaker, and healer. And we'll be looking at more of near-death experiences and death and the other side when we return.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
All right. Welcome back to Full Power Living. Let me remind you to call in now to talk with Tony Green at 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. And in the meantime, I have a few announcements. You know, we really want to tell you about the wonderful upcoming radio shows we have for you. So please go to our homepage at emotionalpro.com and click the subscribe button on the left-hand side. You'll see that next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with Christopher Pinkley about his mud removal program. Christopher is going to share how to clear emotional clogs out of yourself. So tune in next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern time for that conversation with Christopher Pinkley. My guest today is internationally renowned psychic, medium, channel, and healer. And she's helped many people from around the world with her international radio show, Messages from Above with Tony G, and with her readings, programs, and events. She's on Ask Radio. And, Tony, I know on your website you differentiate between psychic, medium, channel. but I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your work as a psychic, a medium, and a channel, and more about your radio show, which airs Wednesdays at 9:30 p.m. Central Time on AskOneRadio.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Channel is someone who, when somebody asks me a question or wants information from me, or if we're just conversing, information kind of comes through me from above and kind of comes out of my mouth. It's not like I hear every word that is being said. It's kind of like just a download of information that comes out. And sometimes I'll think I'm going to say one thing, which is me, what I would say, and then all of a sudden something else comes out of my mouth, which is much, much more profound and much better, and like, oh, yeah, that is a much better answer. It's always a better answer from them. It's always of love. And people say, well, how do you know who you're channeling? I'm like, well, because it's always love. It's always in your best interest. It's always looking out for you, that information. And it can be anything from a universal message, what is the universe like, what is heaven like, to personal questions for that person. A psychic, now I'm not even sure. I don't like titles because everybody uses them. And a psychic can basically answer questions about the past, present, and future. And anyone who asks me questions about their life, I can get that information about their past, present, and future and give them the answers that they're looking for that. And it can be about other people or other situations, area. Then there's the medium part of it. And the medium is if somebody has a loved one they want to connect with on the other side, and sometimes even if they're not looking to connect with that loved one, their loved one will come through. Now, I can connect with their loved one in a couple of different ways. The first way is I might see a part of their loved one. I will hear, again, like in those messages, I can hear or I can sense their loved one is there and give them the messages. When I'm talking to someone and they start talking about their loved ones from the other side, it kind of opens up that veil. And all of a sudden, sometimes for some people, I'll start seeing all their loved ones and I'll be like, okay, the veil has opened. Everybody has stepped through. One of the really unique things for me, there's only one time I have not been able to connect with a loved one from the other side, but the intention on the person's part was not true. Even people who go to other people and say, they'll come to me and say, oh, you can't connect with this person yet because enough time hasn't passed. I've been told I need to wait 6 weeks, or I've been told this, or I've been told that, or, and I'll say, no, that's not true. They're right here. And actually, a girl came in for a healing just 2 days ago, and all of a sudden I said, you know what, your father's here, and I have to give you these messages from him. And she's like, how are you connecting with my father? Nobody else can. And I said, why are you going to other people when you know me? That's my bigger question. But I'm like, because he's right here, and if you are working with the light, he will come through for you. And so I was able to give her the messages, including the confirmation. All of a sudden, I started singing The Good Ship Lollipop. I said, is that, what song is that? Is that like by Shirley Temple? She goes, oh, he loved Shirley Temple. I said, there's your confirmation that it's really him. And so that's what the medium work is. So
thank you. Thank you for that. Now, on your show, you have people who actually can call in and you give them information or messages from loved ones, or perhaps you're channeling and you have a message for everyone listening. Is that correct?
Yes. So when people call in, I can absolutely give them messages. Most people will call, they can ask about any aspect of their life, their finances, their career, love, or they can ask to connect with a loved one from the other side, and I'm able to do that. And these are people from all around the world that are calling in and just being connected to me. I don't know any of the people calling in, so it's not like I know them and I know their situation. But they can ask questions about loved ones or their future, or what's going to happen, and that information just flows through with them, flows through for them actually.
And let me make note too. I've just posted the your URLs on both of our chats because I noticed when I was on your site that you also person can book a half hour, an hour session with you and get individual messages. So if you're willing, I'd like to call on your channeling self right now.
Absolutely.
All right. To ask you, I'm curious about this. I've been talking with this with people. We have this political situation in which Donald Trump is turning out to be not the person that everybody would like him to be. And in my conversations with people, some people have brought up the notion that Donald Trump is actually playing a spiritual role for us. Some people may be very angry with him, but on the other hand, he's doing something for us. He's getting us to look at things. And I wonder if you have any information about the spiritual role that Donald Trump is playing in our current lives.
Yes, love. What we can tell you about this situation is that person, there is a vision. And the two people that are running, there were three, but now there are two main characters that are running in this political campaign, or what you call political campaign. All of the structures that be are in the process of restructuring at this point. You are going to find that many of these structures fall in order to make them fall, whether it be political, religious, or otherwise. In order to have them fall, it needs to come to a point. The people of this plane have not been understanding that they are falling into the facades and giving their lives unto others instead of looking up for their answers. And as long as they give their lives unto others and look for their answers unto others, the answers can never be pure and their intentions will never be right. It's time, with both of these political candidates, one represents a path that will continue as was and the decline of the people. The other represents change and a new beginning, but a decline of the old way. The third person, which is no longer in, unfortunately, what's the best chance for peace on this plane? As you look forward, what will this person represent to each person? What they want him to represent. Some will look at him and see a monster, while others will look at him and see a savior. It's up to each individual person to decide who this person is in their eyes. But make no mistake, he will pull out the parts of fear in those who are fearful. He will pull out the parts of faith in those who are faithful. His intentions are actually pure, although some of the ways that his perceptions are coming through may seem as though they are not. Is that helpful?
That's wonderful. So let me just comment for those of you who are listening who may not have had this experience before, because your voice changed, Tony, and your cadence and so forth, that your channeling was actually a message that was coming through you, and therefore the voice and the cadence and everything changed because it wasn't you speaking, correct?
Correct. Beings or, universal love or consciousness comes through and then gives the message that to the question that is asked. And it always amazes me when it happens. And if you were here with me, many people say that I physically change in appearance also as this happens.
Right. Well, I worked for 3 years. I was in a meditation group with a friend who's a medium, and she, during that time, became what she called a direct voice medium. And it was very funny because when we finally asked the voice that was coming through her, his or her name, the answer we got was, "You can call me Simon." And that meant that every week when we got messages from Simon, we would go home and, like kids, go, "Well, Simon says this, and Simon says that," which brought a lot of humor to things.
That really is, it is so accurate. There are so many, we get so caught up on a name. Who is it? What is it? And if you just yell it, you have a complete understanding, but they don't care what we call them because they have no ego. At the moment they have an ego, they can't be who they are. They can't do what they do. So, yeah, they'll let us call them. Sometimes I'm like, hey, their name is not hey, but I'm like, hey, I have a question. What about this? So,
right.
Yes, they have no ego, their intention is to help us have the understanding and to remember why we're here, to remember what brought us in here. That's their intention. That's what they want for us.
Well, and I'm thinking about the near-death experiences. As you've been talking about them too, one way of looking at them is that a person who has not remembered what they came for has a powerful reset, very much like what's being talked about here with Donald Trump and our political system, that when we start getting too far off track, there's some kind of shocking thing sometimes that occurs in order that we reset and put ourselves on a different path. What's your comment on that?
Absolutely, and if you'd like, I can channel that, but absolutely correct. We really need, as a people, as an individual, and as a group, to not look at, personally, I have an opinion about the whole political thing, and it's based on my channelings, but I try not to put my personal opinion out there because I don't want to get, I don't want people to yell at me because I am very sensitive and I don't like being yelled at. So I keep my opinion sometimes to myself. And I do. I am extremely sensitive. I mean, things that most people, I've had more than 100 people probably tell me, you need to toughen up. I'm like, no, you need to be nicer. You know, it's
right.
Kind of funny. Yes. Everything I understand is the old school is coming down. All the old school, the truths are being shown to us. If we just look, if we just open our eyes in a new way, we will be in shock and we will have to understand, we will have to accept old way no longer works and there needs to be a new way. And that's what this really is all about.
Yes, I can get that. I remember reading years ago that our structure was going to be falling apart. But when you say if you can open your eyes in a new way, how do we go about doing that?
That's a great question. Thank you. Let go of your fear. Oh, that's a great answer. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Right? They're always good, right? That is not what I was going to say, but they shot right through me. So there we go. Ooh, I love them. As we let go of your fear. Yes.
Well, about close to 25 years ago now, I came up with a method that worked for me because my life had been fear-based forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that method was that I asked myself the question, what if I had a written guarantee from God that everything was going to work out and I'll be okay? Then what would I be paying attention to? What decisions would I make and what action would I take? And the more I have followed that in every fear that has come up, the less fear and less fear and less fear I've had in my life. So I want to put that out to pair with what you're offering here, that it's not really a horribly difficult thing to do, but it is something that we need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. And, you know, the people of this plane have so much fear. It has become such a fear-based society. And if they would look through headlines and look through words and go back to their innate ability to feel things, this plane would change in a moment. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, everything would shift. And that's what we want. That's where we want to be. And that's what they're trying to help us with.
I'm just really aware that message must be very powerful and important because I don't have it anywhere in my notes that we talk about this today. So I'm grateful.
Absolutely. You know, I always know I can try to plan and try to say, this is what's going to happen. But I have so let go of that because they will come through and they will help us to have the conversation that's needed for the bigger picture. Always, always, always. Another thing they would like everybody on this plane to understand, and I'm actually going to channel this if you don't mind, so I don't
please.
I don't want to paraphrase. I want it to come right through. Another thing that it is pertinent for the beings of this plane to understand is that when there is love, everything will flourish. Look at the rainforests. The rainforests flourish. There is no fear. If you look at other parts of the world where there is fear and trepidation, you will notice it is desolate. Love is the existence of this plane, and without it, this plane will cease to exist. So many of you are so afraid to love at this point. You have guarded your heart, what you call your heart. You have guarded it, and you have stopped allowing yourself to be love, to have love, to give love. You feel you are in a state of safety, but needing to be in a state of safety implies that there is something to fear. There is nothing to fear except not living the life that you were intended to live on this plane. You are here to love, and with love is creation. You are here to create and to love. They are synonymous. As you love, ideas of creation will come through you. You come from the greatest creator that exists. You are that creator. Allow yourself to be the love that you are intended to be, and all the facades will fall away, and you will know that not only in this moment, but in every moment, you are safe. Okay. Thank you for allowing them to say that.
Oh, my joy, actually, my pleasure. So, you know, Tony, in the early 90s, I had the opportunity to write some handbooks for parents to help them teach their children how to work with various emotions. And one of the books was called Exploring Love with Your Child. And I came across a resource who talked a lot about love. And his statement was that love is love is love. It doesn't matter if you love yourself or you love somebody else. What matters is that you make a choice to make love your guiding principle. So I want to bring that out because having done that myself, it has profoundly changed my life and the life of the people around me. And so as I was listening to your channeling, I'm thinking, okay, well, sure, let's be love, let's have love, let's give love. But do we understand what love is, and how do we turn loose of our concerns about safety long enough to introduce it? And my take on that is that we just make a decision. We have an intention. What else do you have to say about that?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you, Eileen. That is, and love is love. Love is love is love is love. Is love is love. That's it. It just is. And let me be very clear about this. And this is not Tony, of course. Let us be very clear about this. Love is not something you can give or take. It is actually what you are. It is your truest existence. You have the facade that you are something else. And as you try to deny your true existence, which is love, you start to wither and be something other than what you came here to be. Okay, so having said that, now this is me again. People think I talk to myself. I'm like, no. I'm talking to them. I don't have conversations
right.
with myself. One of the things I want to say is if we letting go of the fear, we can't focus on fear. We have to focus on we are okay in this moment. And this moment is the only moment that exists. And we're all so wrapped up in what about tomorrow? I need this for that. I need my children need this. I need that. And our safety and this and that and the other thing. But if we just hone it back and take a breath and we say, I'm okay. And you know, this is exactly as it's supposed to be. And this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is how it's supposed to be. And what a lot of people, I wish everybody would remember, is what you are thinking, you are creating. What you are thinking, you are creating. So if you're thinking about fearful things and how everything is going to go wrong, of course it is going to go more wrong. But if you're thinking about how great things are, and I tell all my clients, as you wake up in the morning, simply say, I love my life. I have the most amazing life. And we really do. We really, mm-hmm. really do. And as you fall asleep at night, say, you know, peace. Say, love. I love my life. I love my existence. Here is amazing. And know that everything is exactly as it's supposed to be. And I know that a lot of people will say, but I'm not where I want to be. Okay, but that's in this moment. In the moment that you start to work toward where you want to be is the moment you end up there. It mm-hmm. takes the body a moment to catch up with the mind because the mind can work very, very quickly. But if you keep your mind focused in that spot where you want to be, the body will catch up to it. It will, no doubt.
That's really profound. That's so wonderful. I'm really glad this show has taken this this direction, Tony.
Thank you.
That is so part of it is us learning to stay in the moment and to look squarely at the moment and say for yourself, at this moment, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. You know, I've really been faced with this with my husband dying because I intend to live for many more years, and to do that, I need to sell my family home. So I'm in the process of doing that, and I've put money down on a van, and I'm going to move into a recreational vehicle, broadcast this radio program from there, and move around the country. Now, by the time I get to doing that, I'll be 74 years old, and a lot of people react, and they go, oh, you know, how can you do that? You know, you better camp near where a doctor is and all this kind of stuff.
Pish
but,
posh.
What?
Pish posh.
Yeah, well,
pish posh.
That's the way I react to it, too. And I just say, well, wait a minute. This feels really right for me to do. I don't even know where I'm going, really. I have a couple of relatives, but it feels really right for me to do. And it's part of staying alive and relevant and present here on the earth.
May we comment on that?
Please.
Thank you so much. Part of this will be channeled because they just like channeling through me, and I love them channeling through me. All of the greatest teachers that have come to this plane did not set up camp in one spot and expect everybody to come to them. The greatest teachers were what you like to call gypsies. They traveled from town to town. They traveled this world, and they spread their word. It does not matter where you are that makes you safe. You will be safe wherever you are. So that's them coming through to you, and I agree with them. When we look back at some of the, if you're from this religious, no matter what religion that you prescribe to, they traveled. They traveled the world and the area that they were from, and they spread their word. And on a personal note, Eileen, you are about to live my dream because I want to get an RV and I want to travel the world and just go places and just have that existence where I'm able to show up and help the people wherever I am. So, and this is part of your path. The reason that this is being woken up inside of you is because it is part of your path. You have so chose to open this door. Now you are being able to walk through this door and do it. And you will not be alone. Along the way, many people will come and take this ride with you. They may not take it from beginning to end, but you will have people that join you for part of this journey that you are about to embark upon.
I've had that sense, you know. I've been telling people, you know, you can visit me. You can come to where I am. So that's fascinating. I actually never thought of it that way. That's so wonderful. Thank you for that message. So, but another part of that that I'd like all of you who are listening to pay attention to, I've had these little glimpses, like before my husband died, 3 or 4 years before he died, we'd go past a recreational vehicle park or something, and I'd say, wouldn't it be nice to take a vacation once in a, you know, sometime, and we could rent one of those vehicles. So I was getting messages about this, but it didn't come together until after he died, and some clients showed up saying that they were going to do this with an Airstream. I look up the Airstream on the internet and find the van that I that's right for me, and mm-hmm. it just like fell together. And so the real message is that, isn't it, that we're all being led if we will allow it and listen and trust.
Yes. You know, it amazes me how many people are afraid so many things. Like, people are even fearful for you. Don't buy into that paradigm of fear that they're putting on you.
Right.
This is one big, beautiful world, and there are many, many beautiful parts of this world to see. And people get stuck in their little, this is my plot of land, and this is my, for the next 30 years, I'm going to pay for it, and then I'm going to do this, and I have to be at the same job. But where are you growing from that? It's okay if that's your personal intention, but make sure you're doing something to learn and grow and explore this big, beautiful land that we have been given to explore. And what you are actually doing, Eileen, and yes, it did happen in a time frame when freedom opened up to you. Not that you weren't free while your partner was here with you, your beloved husband that recently passed, which, by the way, I'm really sorry for your loss. But
thank you.
You are now open to freedom to just explore as much as you want. And make no mistake, he's going to be in the passenger seat most of the time. I see him there, like saying, let's go. So you will not be alone on this journey. Plus, if you don't mind me saying, you have many, the reason you get these glimpses is you are somewhat intuitive. We are all intuitive. It's just how much we have shut down to our own guidance system. We all have a GPS built within us that tells us, you know, turn right, turn left. But instead it sounds like take, or this might be the better thing for you. Now, if you are open and willing to hear your personal GPS or your guides and protectors and security, GPS, and also angels, so you can get glimpses. You're open enough to see glimpses of what they're showing you as part of your future. And so make no mistake, this is the right path for you, and you are exactly on the right road, and you will be safe and protected at all times.
Wow, thank you. I know
awesome.
That. It's really wonderful. Well, Tony, what a feast. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. You've enabled us all to get a glimpse into places and ways of operating and things to know that most people have not allowed themselves to have here on the earth. So thank you for this wonderful feast. Thank you to your guides and the entities that you have been channeling here today also. I'm very, very grateful to have the opportunity to have the messages you've given here on the show today. There's so many people that can benefit. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And so let me remind you that Tony can be found at Tony, TONIG.info. And then the radio show is at Ask One, the numeral one, askoneradio.com. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
okay.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. And you have your wonderful, I didn't even talk about your books. I'm sorry about that. But you have these wonderful meditation books where you offer an opportunity to meditate on a particular frequency, I would say, would be a word, but a particular frequency every day for 30 days.
Right.
And they bring, you know, this peace and love that we've been talking about, they bring them right into you. And it's a very gently put together book and very calming and loving to read. So let me encourage you to go to Tony's website. The book that I read is The Ever-Evolving Journey for the Soul, but you have it on other... What are the other three, Tony?
They're all evolving journeys, because that's why we're here, as you said, to learn, to grow, to expand our soul. So the first one you already stated. The second one is The Ever-Evolving Journey for Love, The Ever-Evolving Journey for Success, and The Ever-Evolving Journey for Awakening. Each one has a very specific transformation in mind for you. And each of these books was channeled along with each day there's a word. And although we call it a meditation book, it's really a transformation book. You don't have to spend 30 minutes meditating. It's just allowing that word to be within you and not giving it your perceived definition. If you just allow, like, the word love to be, if you just breathe in the word love and breathe out the word love, or, you know, any other word within these books, and you don't think about what that means, the meaning of it will literally open up inside of you. And this is,
wow,
this is what they have let me know prior to writing these books. And the amazing part about that is it's minimal work for you. You just breathe it in and breathe it out. You can do it for less than a minute if you choose. Throughout the day, you breathe it in and breathe it out with no conscious thought process about the word. You just have to let the word be and then move on with your day. And it will automatically happen. It's like planting of a seed. You allow that seed to be, and it will grow inside of you.
It's really interesting. As you talk, I can feel that going on inside of me. We really do have to stop. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Tony Green, and thank you for being here on Full Power Living.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It has been such an honor, and they want to thank you for allowing them to give these messages in such a beautiful way. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So next week, listen to Full Power Living when I talk with Christopher Pinkley about his mud removal program. He shares this program with business people, ordinary citizens alike. It's an entire program on how to clear emotional clogs out of yourself. So I look forward to having you with us next Thursday. Thank you for listening, friends and family, about us and our shows. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.